Previously on Technorama. I should have put some music behind that.
Sure he's not got the right show.
When we find that random humor, we'll let you know. Somebody keeps putting an empty carton back in there. They'll take it and they go, this is empty, and they put it back. Good luck getting to the front door.
iHack, ban me.
IBM is very innovative.
Not even Norton can protect you.
I heard mouse clicks while you were there.
You never listen. Little did you know, computers would be controlled by mice later.
I eat noobs.
You used to have one. No, it was a rope.
Take a listen to this.
Excuse me for touching my mouse. I stole music off the internet.
Keep your hands off the mouse and come out with your hands up!
No way!
Hello and welcome to Technorama. This is the magic show number 8088. That's the old processor for March 2nd, 2006. The official show of the podcast generation. Woohoo!
I'll drink to that.
I'm Chuck Tomasi, and with me is my co-host, the man who can tell you the RGB values of traffic lights. It's Craig Stepp.
I say we have... Oh, man. Red, yellow, and green? What?
RGB, man.
I was actually thinking HTML code.
Yeah, you got to do the pound FF, OOFF thing.
Yeah.
All right, we've got a ton of stuff coming up tonight. We've got jetpacks and Spider-Mans and TiVos and...
all kinds. Lions and tigers and beer, oh my.
And with that, we'll do the usual on this day in tech history. Back in a moment.
Almighty.
On this day in tech history for March 2nd, 2006. This is March 2nd. It's the 61st day of the year in the gargantuan calendar. There are 304 days remaining in 2006. It was on this date in 1791 that long-distance communication speeds up with the unveiling of the semaphore machine in Paris. King Kong premieres in New York City on this date in 1933. Also on this date in 1939, British archaeologist Howard Carter dies at the age of 65. And in 1949, Captain James Gallagher lands his B-50 Superfortress Lucky Lady 2 in Fort Worth, Texas, after completing the first non-stop around-the-world airplane flight in 94 hours and 1 minute. In Milford, Connecticut, 56 years ago today, Connecticut Light and Power installed the first streetlights that automatically turned on at dusk and off at dawn. And the Pioneer 10 space probe is launched from Cape Canaveral, Florida, with a mission to explore the outer planets on this date in 1972. Author Philip K. Dick passes away on this date in 1982 at the age of 54. And TV anime series Mobile Suit Z Gundam broadcasts its first episode in Japan on this date in 1985. Chrysler acquires American Motors on this date in 1987. And in 1995, Yahoo is incorporated, establishing the Internet Portal as a model. In 1998, data is sent from the Galileo space probe that indicates that Jupiter's moon Europa has a liquid ocean under the thick crust of ice. Happy birthday on this date in 1862 to the Russian physicist Boris Borisovich Galitzin. And the author Dr. Seuss was born on this date in 1904. The German engineer Walter Bruch was born on this date in 1908. And Dr. Beverly Crusher from Star Trek The Next Generation, Gates McFadden, turns 57 today. And our final birthday today is for Craig Version 2.0, a.k.a. Harrison Stepp. He turns 5 years old today. And that's the way it was on this day in tech history for March 2nd, 2006.
This is Kevin Rose from Dig Nation, and you're listening to Chuck and Craig of Technorama.
This show is a proud member of Friends in Tech at friendsintech.com.
Pull up a chair and join us for some fun. Hey, Craig is already calling me out. I screwed up a date on his son's birthday.
That's all right. I could have sworn I gave it to you, right? But, you know, it's 3202. He's 4 year old. Four tomorrow.
Whew, good thing. I thought I was getting old too quick.
Hey, well, that's all right.
The other thing I got to mention is Philip from Australia, the guy who was hanging around with us at the podcast expo. You see him in some of the pictures. He wrote us an email and said, you've got to do something about that music for On This Day in Tech History. Because it apparently reminds him of the first porn film he ever saw. I'm not sure. Yeah, so if you hear us going...
I didn't order any pizza.
If you hear us going... On This Day in Tech History.
We didn't order any pizza.
Going to have some fun with that one. All right, we do have
some... It's hot in here.
Cable guy. I didn't call the cable guy.
You've got mail!
You!
The chorus says we've got mail.
You've got some mail.
Yeah, save it for next week, will you? This one's from Mark in Memphis. He points us to a URL that I'll have in the show notes. He says, this is an actual house in Signal Mountain, Tennessee. He was talking about the crazy houses that we had found very near Chattanooga, Tennessee, where I grew up. This is it looks like a spaceship, like a flying saucer with a landing gear down. There goes the webcam.
Speaking of down.
The webcam's fallen and it can't get up. Ladies and gentlemen,
okay,
we're
there?
Experiencing some technical difficulties. Please stand by. Oh, you can't stand by on a podcast. I don't know how that happened, but...
Yeah, they don't need to see anyhow.
That's right. Skip it. There. All fixed. All better. That's the beauty of podcasts. This will go down as an interesting outtake somewhere.
Hey, you know, I've got a picture of a UFO that looks much like that somebody has in a, I think it was in the front of like a construction yard or something, or not construction, but they make concrete and stuff like that. They have one sitting out front, complete with the air conditioner hooked up.
You can make houses look like just about anything.
Mm-hmm.
All right, say, hey. Yes.
How do you put a chair on the corner?
Yeah, go sit in the corner. It's a round house!
That's just it. I can confuse my kid. Go sit in the corner. This one? No?
The next one's from Dean, a.k.a. Beaker1 in the chat room. Is he there? Yes, he is. Everybody wave to Beaker1. He says, Chuck and Craig, this video is from the Batman movie. It's one of my wife's favorite movies. Oh, we were talking about Batman getting eaten by a shark and the shark repellent, and he kind of goes off on this. He loves it. There are just so many things wrong that you have to laugh at every scene. Well, that goes without saying, if that's any indication. Take this one as an example. First, Robin is having problems flying the Batcopter. That is why Batman gets dipped into the ocean. Then a little later, Robin has to climb down the rope ladder to give Batman a shark repellent. Who's flying the Batcopter? And why wasn't that on when Robin was flying it?
That's what I was thinking. Actually, I thought the same thing when he started climbing out. I was like, anything must have autopilot. Why wasn't he using it before?
When Robin grabs the shark repellent, the other bottles are Barracuda, Whale, Manta Ray, and Shark. How many Manta Ray attacks have you heard of? When Robin climbs down the ladder, why does he have to flip over to give Batman the repellent? Did you also notice that in one scene he is three rungs away from Batman, in the next scene they are right next to each other? How did he climb down the extra three rungs, especially while hanging upside down by his knees? Hitting the shark violently with your fist does not set off the explosives, but falling a few feet to the water does? Just a few thoughts. I love the movie.
I was thinking, that shark did explode pretty good when it hit the water.
What was in that thing, anyway?
Anyway, hey, I think Dean's seen this movie way too many times, though.
It's like The Wizard of Oz or something.
Yeah, right. Hey, we're not rocket scientists. They are. It's a Pac-Man ass tattoo.
You will see someone's posterior not disgustingly displayed. I always think of Patty and Selma on The Simpsons. Well, it's not a high-res butt, kids. You could end up like Craig. Why is that the example everybody uses?
I don't know. You can email Chuck at chuck@chuckchain.com. Send audio comments.
Have you been drinking tonight? Leave the podcasting to the professionals.
Chuck Chat Technorama. More fun than a blue screen of death.
Depends who you ask. That's my response. Want to give a shout out to the chat room? We are back to the gills. Oh my gosh. Wow. It's going to take the rest of the show to name these people off. Let's go through it real quick. Alan, Beaker One, DeVos, East Bay Ant, Jeep and Dave, Joni in New Hampshire, K.O., Lingo, Mainframe, Mark Shepard, Missing Intellect, Mr. Gadgets, Hey Bruce, Runtime Error, Scott Nuts. I hope that's Nuts and not Newts. Scott R. Shortman, Southern Harmony. Welcome, Southern Harmony. First time chatter,
hey,
I
y'all.
Think. Tim Elliott and Zahadoom rounding out the list. Well, they go from A to Z. We can finally say we got a chat room from A to Z.
Yeah. Well, there's a couple of letters missing in the middle, but we won't mention that. Oh, wait.
Marbles missing in the middle. The typewriter means it's time for the news. We've got a news story.
Yes, I do. In the news, while perusing my favorite webcomic at PvP Online, I was reading the PvP, and they mentioned the characters were conversing about Spider-Man's wearing the black suit in Spider-Man 3. And I was like, what? Did I miss something? So I quickly went over to Sony's website, and sure enough, there's Spider-Man. Not in the traditional symbiote black outfit that he ended up with in the comic book with the white spider on the chest, but it's all black. And at the bottom, in very red, white letters, it says, "This is not a black and white image. He is wearing a black suit." I was like, cool.
It looks like he ran into Batman's tailor.
Yeah. Or the rain washed off the color.
Spider-Man's suit is not color fast.
So anyway, it looks kind of cool, but the picture does look black and white, but it states that it is not.
It is not. Yeah. It is not. Hey, we've got a couple of hacks and strange stories in here. I'm not going to throw in another sweeper because we are already making a long show and we got a long way to go.
So come on, man. Let's make an hour and a half just like everybody else.
Oh, an hour and a half where they don't say anything anymore? Oh, wait. Sorry. To do a long podcast. My apologies, but hey, shorten it up. I'm starting to lose the hour and a half long podcast. They're just taking up too much of my time, and, shorten it up. That's my philosophy. We've got a story about the first documented bug. This is actually true. You know, you hear the stories of the computer that had problems when the bug was going through it, and they found a moth a beetle or something in there. It's true.
It's a moth. It says, I'm looking at the page, brother.
There is a moth taped to a notebook. On September 9th at 1545, relay number 7, panel F, moth in relay. The story reads, American engineers have been calling small flaws in machines bugs for over a century. Thomas Edison talked about bugs in electrical circuits in the 1870s. When the first computers were built during the early 1940s, people working on them found bugs in both the hardware of the machines and in the programs that ran them. Woohoo, we still have them. In 1947, engineers working on the Mark II, must have been an upgrade from the Mark I, the Mark II computer at Harvard University found a moth.
Predecessor to the Mark III.
No, they skipped over. They went to the Mark IV. It was a marketing thing. They taped the insect in their logbook and labeled it first actual case of a bug being found. The words bug and debug soon became standard part of the language of computer programmers. And they live on today. So,
yeah, you know, you'd be surprised some of the crap I found in computers over the years.
Oh, yeah. I used to work at a computer land store as a service engineer. One of our favorites was a mouse had crawled in because the peripheral slides, you know, those little blanks you're supposed to put in when you take a card out?
Yeah.
They didn't put the blank in, and a mouse got in there and built its house between, like, the parallel card and the video card. It was nice and warm, but then all of a sudden, the you know, the things that mice do started leaking all over the motherboard and causing strange problems. So we had to remove the mouse from this guy's computer.
Mm. I've done that before. I mean, I've had that happen before. It's like, I open it up and go, what's this down here? You know, I'm sitting there touching it, and I'm like, oh, crap.
Yeah, that's what it was.
And you know what? I've talked about this on the show before. I used to work for a company that sold vertical software to veterinary clinics. And we'd go install these Unix systems and install the software for them to run the clinic. Well, a lot of these places have dirt driveways or gravel, you know, so there's a lot of dust. Then you have animal hair. And there's times I'd open the computer and almost choke to death on the dust to begin with. There'd be nice, huge hairballs. I mean, like, softball size hairballs in this thing. I'm like, how is this computer stinging on? These things are crazy. I mean, some of the stuff that, I mean, I'm sure there's some more stories I got.
But. Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, I'm sure we'll get some listener feedback from these stories, too. There was this one time I was...
Yeah, if you got a good story, throw it our way.
Audio clips are good, too. Just keep them, you know, a minute or two, get the story out.
Everybody's got a laptop or got a microphone on their laptop, hopefully. Hopefully. Hopefully.
Hopefully. All right. Tell me about this jetpack you found. I want to build one.
I think it was, I did find this through Dig. It's over at Popular Science. This gentleman, his name's Juan Lozano. I think I'm saying his name right. He lives in Mexico. And he built a jetpack that looks like the 60s, 70s jetpack you've seen, like, was it 1980 or whatever, the Olympics where the guy flew in on the jetpack?
Gilligan's Island had one, too.
That's right. That's right, but they couldn't get off that stupid island. Anyway, it uses, it's 90% hydrogen peroxide. It's like purified hydrogen peroxide, and when it expands, the pressure is like so, it's like it expands to about 5,000 times the size, and it goes out the nozzles and it gives you the force to go up. He built this thing on his own, and he's like, if I can get to fly by myself without a tether, which is what he's using now, I mean, the possibilities are endless. He can fly into sporting events and letting the people pay to do that, and he's selling these backpacks now. So he's doing that. The guy's smart as hell, because he's also making, like, he's working on, like, it was a helicopter using the same technology, the hydrogen peroxide. Not only that, to fund his project, he developed a machine or a technique to purify this hydrogen peroxide so you can use it in projects like this at your home. So you buy the kit and you're able to purify your own hydrogen peroxide for this. And for some reason, a lot of companies were not selling small amounts to hobbyists anymore. So when he did this, he automatically had orders, you know, bam, right there, you know, for that. So he was able to fund his projects. So it's really a neat read. It's like 5 pages long. Awesome. So go check it out. He's like, it's pretty cool.
Links in the show notes for you.
Yeah.
One other strange story I got, this was supposed to be emailed to me, but Dr. Phil, a.k.a. Phil Clark in the Chicago area, I will be giving kudos to him later in the show because we've got some cool stuff coming up thanks to him. He said he was commuting to work, listening to his iPod via his iTrip, tuned to 87.9 FM. He's driving along, and all of a sudden he starts hearing Howard Stern, and it's not coming from his iPod. He doesn't know where it's coming from. It's really clear. And I'm wondering how in the world that could happen. The only thing I could think of is somebody's got one of those dashboard units tuned to Sirius radio, and maybe they Tim Taylored it or something and overdrove the transmitter, and it was being picked up that way. But I don't know enough about Sirius or the dash top units or anything to make any further comment. He said, I don't remember following anybody for 10 minutes or having anybody alongside. So how did he pick this up?
It was like the stories you hear, like, was it World War II, whatever, the people had fillings in their mouths and they hear pickup radio station.
That actually still happens.
Well, you know, I do remember my grandfather talking about he flew over Europe, you know, in World War II, and they were talking about that, and he said he could hear radio.
Really? Radio waves are pretty interesting, but satellite radio wouldn't normally get picked up by his eye trip. It's probably going
to
be somewhere else.
No, he wasn't listening to Stern.
I don't know.
Listening to Stern.
Maybe it was Technorama, and we just sounded like Howard Stern.
Yeah.
Goes something like this.
Hey, we're not rocket scientists. They are.
Hey, we're not rocket scientists. I already played that one. Let's try the other one.
Already in the microprocessor.
Faster than fiber chat.
You're listening to Chuck Tomasi on ChuckChat.com.
Hi, this is Tom Dutchick from Immersion Presents. You're listening to Chuck and Craig on Technorama.
Well, haha, wasn't that funny? Hey, I've got a little more TiVo action. As I mentioned, I picked up a couple of TiVos real cheap with the $150 rebate at Best Buy, and Friday I activated the service. It was time. My freebies were out, and I needed to record BSG Friday night.
Both units?
They were a couple days apart, actually. I let one lapse, and then I renewed them both. My first question was, hey, if you can get the monthly subscription on one for $12.95 and the second one for $6.95, can I get the lifetime membership at the same discounted rate? And the answer is no, because
really?
It's per unit. If you have two on the monthly subscription and you sell one, the other one automatically bumps up to $12.95. If you had a discounted lifetime, they couldn't bump it up. I mean, there's nowhere to go. It's licensed per unit. So I pulled the trigger and I got the lifetime on both, and I never have to think about it again. It's the life of the product, and it does transfer. So if I do sell one or both, the new owner can take that over. So they're awesome.
Oh, that's cool. I didn't know that. That's cool. Okay.
Yeah. And they're working really slick. I did have the problem with one of them being recognized by TiVo Desktop. It took a day or so. It really had to reboot it. It hadn't made its regular call in, so it didn't know its name. I called them Mars and Venus because we were playing around with some names, and I thought, well, in case I get six more, I'll be all set.
Why do you like Bozeman and the Enterprise?
Because somewhere you're going to have to type that name, and I don't want long names. And I had thought about it. Honestly, all of my machines are Enterprise themed, so.
You can only have nine TiVos in your house now.
Oh, gee. Then I'll have to start making up planet names from Star Trek.
X-10, yeah. SETI, Beta, whatever.
Couple of notes about the transfers. Alpha. TiVo to TiVo and TiVo to PC is really slow. Oh, my gosh. Yes, it's like two times the recording length of the show. If I've got a 30-minute show, it will take an hour to transfer from the TiVo to the laptop. That's over an 802.11g network. So I don't know why it's so picking slow, but if you want to watch something on the remote TiVo, I can record something in the living room and watch it in the bedroom. You better plan ahead and transfer that thing ahead, because it will... It's kind of like watching a slow stream, a slow download in QuickTime. It'll play a little and then it'll pause. And it'll play a little and it'll pause. And it'll drive you absolutely bonkers. Now, I have. Go ahead.
I was going to say, essentially, talking about my hacked Xbox again. Yeah, let's talk about that. Anyway, coming from my NAS device down to the Xbox, once it starts, it just pauses for a minute, like a buffering.
Yep.
And then once it gets going. I mean, I can pause and everything. It's no problem.
Yeah, so that's it's one drawback. But you know what? I don't do that too much. If there's something like Discovery Channel had a two-hour show on Before the Dinosaurs. It was all nice CGI animation. And I can't sit down and watch a two-hour show anymore. That's just too long. So I transferred it last night. I encoded it this morning, and I'm walking around watching it in little, between two commercial segments. I go, I'll watch 8 or 10 minutes, and then I'll put it away and
it's on your iPod.
It's on my iPod. Yeah, I was able to successfully download the .tivo file to the PC, and then using direct show dump that Kevin Devon from In the Trenches, a fellow member of Friends in Tech, there's our plug, he pointed me to that. I downloaded direct show dump. It'll convert it to an MPEG file, but QuickTime still can't use that. I use iSquint, it ends up in MP4, and then I can play it. However, the syncing, the audio sync is out of sync.
Ugh.
For this dinosaur show, that didn't matter. I mean, they go, like, well, who cares? It looks like a bad Japanese movie. But for talking, it will drive you nuts, and the longer the show is, the worse it gets out of sync. So he did say I could use Handbrake Light to fix that, but I haven't had a chance to play with that yet. The other cool thing is TiVo Desktop will let you share pictures and music between the PC or Mac and TiVo. So I loaded it on my PowerBook and my iMac G4. I can sit at the TiVo and I can say, play the music off of blah. And I can listen to podcasts on TV, which is really kind of mind-blowing if you think about it. Or we put it in a slideshow and we watched all our Disney pictures while we ate dinner. The thing I don't like is I wish you could put music overlaid to the slideshow. It's kind of like iPhoto will let you do. Or
man, you're picky.
Well, I'm giving suggestions in case there's anybody at TiVo that's looking for what belongs in firmware 8.
So you can't go play a song and then go look at your pictures, right?
No. It's kind of sad. You can do one or the other, but pictures are... Slideshows are really a lot better when there's music behind them, or maybe a narration. So, speaking of pictures and multiple computers, you were going to talk about Picasa on two computers.
Yeah. I almost forgot about that. That's right. Like I said, once again, I've got this external hard drive sitting on this NAS unit. And I've got, my wife's got a laptop. I've got a machine. I got two machines up here. I've got a Mac Mini in my desktop unit. And, of course, I've got a laptop.
Mm-hmm.
Well, just to keep things simple here, I'm talking about two machines, my wife's laptop and my main desktop machine here. And what I want to do is I want to have my, using Picasa, because I really like Picasa as a photo organizer. Not that I don't like iPhoto, but I don't have a Mac in everywhere, so
right.
I can't really use iPhoto. Anyway, so I chose Picasa, and I was reading some information about using the same database of pictures between two Picassas, and I'm still kind of investigating this, but because see, Picasa, much like iPhoto, is non-destructive, so when you make edits to these pictures, like changing the brightness,
right,
and contrast or whatnot, it's non-destructive, and you still have your originals, and keeps all the settings.
iPhoto saves the originals.
Yes, it does. I said non-destructive.
Oh, I thought you said it's not like iPhoto.
No, I said it, in that respect, it is like iPhoto, where it's non-destructive. And anyway, the thing is, it keeps all those changes in INI. Actually, it's less destructive than iPhoto is. iPhoto puts it in an originals folder, I think.
Yeah, it renames the file or something. Yep.
And Picasa doesn't even do that. Just anyway. So I was looking to see what I need to do to have all the keywords, if you add keywords and all that, to pass to another machine. And one of the suggestions I found online was there's a DB file for Picasa. And trying to make like a symlink or something like, I say symlink, but sure, Windows.
Yeah.
A symlink to that DB file. In the same, pointing in the same place. Of course, you got two computers opening at the same time.
Uh-huh.
It can be a little funny. But you know what? I never found that DB file. And I wonder if that was with an older version. Because, I'm still investigating that. If anybody's got any feedback on that, that'd be cool. But so I don't know. I'm still, like I said, trying to hash that out so I can get Picasa on both places.
Is there like a preferences or something that you can say, no, look over here on this network drive or something?
No, not really. Well, I mean, I can tell it. I can point Picasa to a folder full of pictures, yes. I can't. The DB file? No, there's no setting for that.
You can't move the DB? You should check the registry and everything?
Nobody has mentioned anything from that, and these were developers talking about it. So, this is with Picasa developers. So I was like,
"You got the right people."
I figured they'd mention it if anything, but they were talking about putting the DB in one place and pointing like a symlink to where, so that way you would be redirected toward it. So anyway, I'm still kind of working that out, but as far as I can tell, I can get to both pictures and no problem. I just want to make keywords and changes visible on both.
If you got any ideas, pass them along. Let us know.
Yeah, and I'll let you know as I find out more.
Hey, we've got a quick, quick note. If you're in Switzerland, don't forget to visit the Technorama Institute. That's right. I was watching a show, National Geographic.
G. Mark Shepard and
about volcanoes, and they said here at the Technorama Institute. I'm like, oh, cool. So if I'm in Switzerland, you know, or if somebody, one of our listeners is in Switzerland, send us a picture or something. That's kind of cool.
It is cool. Yeah, I'd like to see that. Actually, you know what? I'd like to see a picture of the building that says Technorama on the outside.
We could use that as album art.
I can hear the lawyers winding up now.
That'd be cool.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. You know, something else I wanted to mention. I'm going to try and contact this guy. Are we still on the air?
Yes, we are.
I'll make sure you didn't cut me off.
Hands on the mute button. Go.
Yeah. Well, hey, back off. No, you know, for a long time, I wanted to buy Technorama.com.
Right.
You know, for the show. But somebody already beat me to it. And part of it is the Technorama Swiss Science Center that we just mentioned. And it turned out there's a gentleman, I don't have his name handy, that actually works on this, developing this camera called Technorama, which does some kind of panoramic type photographs.
Yeah.
And I talked to him, I guess it was around Christmas time or so. And I'm going to see if I'm going to bring him on the show and kind of do an interview with him and see what, get him to tell us a little bit more about his cameras and whatnot.
That'd be cool. I hadn't thought of that. Yeah. I was just kind of mad because he wanted so much money.
No, I thought I'd bring him on here so he couldn't go, hey, y'all got to quit using your, this is a trademark. And when I said, and he didn't say that, but I was just saying, bring him on the show and he can't say anything.
Bring him on!
No, but I really would like to talk to him. I'm into photography, so that'd be cool.
Yeah, I've got an interest in that as well. I've been shooting pictures since I was about 12, 10, something like that.
With the BB gun or with a camera?
No, shooting pictures. Photographs! Know what I mean?
Here's my boss.
Bob's holding me up a new headline from yesterday.
It sounds like crap.
That's what we like at Technorom.
Sounded dead.
Good stuff. I'm glad you found that one.
This stuff is so great, and you don't need high-level math.
Yikes.
When you don't have confidence, just fake it.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'm Patrick Norton from DLTV and Twit, and you're listening to Chuck and Craig on Technorama.
Patrick, he's our man. We've got one more Griffin giveaway tonight. We've got the Griffin Smart Deck. This is from the wonderful people at Griffin. This is the device that slips into your cassette deck and allows you to control your iPod from the controls on your steering wheel or dashboard or wherever your controls are.
I so want that.
Well, you can't have it because I don't have my drum roll out tonight, but the winner is Chad Davis.
Yay, Chad, what's up?
Oh, I could practically drive that down to him. He's not too far from me. He's actually the guy who sold me the mixer that you now have.
Oh, that's right.
So, congratulations, Chad. I think he was in the chat room earlier. I don't see him now. But if he pops back in, let you know he won. Oh, a bunch of sad faces in the chat room now.
No. When you mentioned that, I looked over, I was like, holy crap. It's funny.
Now, you have a
rant.
A rant? Let me pull up the rant.
All right. Tonight, it's directed towards Apple. So, are you Apple-loving hippies, just listen.
La, 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 la. Fingers in ears, not listening.
You know, it's fun. Well, it's not really so much toward Apple, at least the first part I got to say. You know, everybody, when Steve Jobs gets up from his desk, people start hammering the blogs and everything. Oh, what are they going to do? What are they going to do? Oh, we're going to see this, and we're going to see that. And, oh, my gosh. And then the announcement was such a non-story, other than we got an Intel Mac Mini. Great.
That was pretty bad.
Yeah, I mean, that was cool. Okay, but, you know, I can appreciate that. However, the boombox looks stupid. It looks like a box with the iPod stuck in the top.
It looks huge. I've got an iHome that looks better than that, and it's an alarm clock, too.
Yeah, and then look at the other big announcement was the leather iPod cases for $100.
Why are they getting into accessories when there's already a bunch of
people? They're doing the same freaking thing Microsoft does. Oh, somebody's making a buck. Let's get into that market, too.
No, that's stupid. You focus on your core competencies, and you let the other people do the accessories.
Yeah, so that was one thing I thought it was funny about all the hype. And yes, you know, I got into it a little bit. I was watching this page that refreshes itself, or you know, Ajax type page with updates from all these sites, and I was like, there's nothing going on here. But I don't know. I didn't care for the iBoom or whatever it's called.
That's actually a good segue into the we've got a little bit lower in the notes. The WWJD, which most Christians would know as "What Would Jesus Do?" However, Engadget has termed it "What Would Jobs Do?" And they run this little contest before each of these major announcements to have people Photoshop up some creative ideas of what they think is coming. And there are some cool-looking devices in here.
Yeah, and right off the bat is that first place is a little Apple tablet. It looks like the size of an iPod.
I think it's a little bigger than that. It was maybe 6 inches long.
Well, if you look at it, it is an iPod that somebody photoshopped.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and what all it is where the white meets the chrome, it splits open and the screen, you know, as a screen, looks like a tiny little laptop. And
it's got OS X on it and everything.
I mean, a tiny little PDA or something. Yes, it's got OS X on it. It looks awesome. So, wish I could have that. And I like the iPod Shuffle video.
I had the iWrist. Yeah, the iPod Shuffle video. Yeah, who thought that was?
It's got no screen, but it's wider and thicker.
And no screen.
Yeah. The tablets look pretty cool at the bottom.
Yep.
Which I know a lot of people were kind of hoping for a tablet at some point.
They got some things that are just ridiculous. The iWrist.
Yeah. The laptop with the dual screens, instead of having a keyboard, when you open it up, there's two screens where the keyboard would be and where the screen is, actually.
Well, they had another one that rendered a music keyboard, so the LCD would change to like a touch panel music keyboard.
I think they had the same idea where you could do anything. And actually, that's not a bad idea, but boy, I can see fingerprints coming up.
Not only fingerprints, but they only had like 10 keys. That's not really useful to a true musician.
Yeah, and you know what? I like the... I misread it. I thought it said the iRumor, and it would pop out rumors. And the iPod Yakto, it looks like one of those, what do you call this telescope? The micron telescopes, where you can see like down to the microscope.
Scanning electron microscope?
The electron microscope, that's it. Thank you. And you see a nano sitting there on top of all the crap.
Oh, that was a good one. That was cool. I like that picture.
There's some other good ones.
All right, we're going to play one more quick little sweeper, and we will be back with a couple of Geek Library things and wrap up for you. I think they call this in professional the G or F segment. I can't remember, but we'll be right back.
Let's play it.
Here at Chuck Chat Breweries, we believe you deserve the very best. Technorama Dark Lager is brewed with the finest Bavarian hops, oakwood aged for the dense geek flavor. Winner of 5 awards for Outstanding Lager of the Year. When you talk quality, we stand alone. So for all you do, this Technorama is for you. Chuck Chat reminds you to geek responsibly. Chuck Chat Breweries, Appleton, Wisconsin, at chuckchat.com.
Geek Thoughts.
There are only two industries that call their customers users, technology and illegal drugs, both of which also foster a dependency on getting the next fix or upgrade.
Apple?
I love listener contributions like that.
Speaking of Apple.
Easy there, big boy.
Yeah.
All right, quickly, through the Geek Library, we've got a couple other things left.
Yes, we got the most famous photograph of history and science.
Well, I got a bone to pick with this. You describe it. I'm going to take a closer look.
It is, did I link to the...
Yeah, it's on astroseti.org.
I linked to the
it's like the
wrong language.
French page or something.
Sorry. But anyway, it's got like Einstein and Madame Curie and so on and so forth. And it's a whole bunch of, was it the Pulitzer Prize winners?
Yeah.
Biggest, brightest minds of what year was that? It's like 1927.
Are you looking at the picture right now?
Yes, I am.
Where is Marie Curie?
She's in the front row.
Oh, I think I see her. She looks like another one of these men without a beard. This was
she's
not one
man,
of her better
baby.
Pictures.
Yeah.
Her hair looks like Einstein's.
See, she's a man, baby. Yeah.
Hey, Wiz.
Got man hands.
I looked for like 5 minutes, couldn't find her. Well, you know, she did discover, what, radium and...
Well, you know,
probably
if,
what
you
happened.
Looks, if you look through that little key, it has her name right there where she should...
I couldn't find her. She's a real Shmee Skywalker-looking woman. And
well,
moving right along.
Good.
I like this one you found.
Oh, the hit.
The hidden the passages.
Dude, these are awesome. This is a web, this place. If you got the money, of course, if you have the... Hold on, let me turn the music off. I went to the link. Anyway, Not that kind of Batman music. No, but if you got the money, and of course you got the house to do this in, you can buy one of those passages a la Batman where you hit, pull the book out and the whole bookshelf slides in.
Yeah.
They had, I think my favorite one was the stairs that lifted up.
That was Herman Munster stairs.
Yeah, it's like, yeah, I hear, dar, 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 you know,
someone feed Spot. There was the stairs. Some of them were really cheesy. They almost look like Scooby-Doo things, you know, tweak the candlestick on the mantelpiece and the fireplace moves aside. Like, oh,
I think
man.
You know what? I did find this one via Dig, too, and some of the people were like, dude, I saw, he said he saw on Discovery or something, it was talking about people breaking into houses and how they just trashed the whole place. It's like, some guy would just, if I was a thief, I'd just so go in there and just knock all the books off the bookshelf and knock over all the candlesticks.
Just start pushing.
Just knock it all
you know
over.
What they, you know what they'd but, find if they did that in my house?
What's that?
They'd find my kick-ass studio.
Hey, cool, what's in here? Oh.
It's a geek's house! Get
it's
out!
Chuck DeMasi's house. Get out! Get out! Get out! No, but it's pretty cool, and you can see some of the models on their computer rendered. I think they got some videos too, showing animations of how the things move. Whoop! Hit my mic. How the things move and stuff. It's awesome. That is so awesome.
And with that, I think we're rounding out the show. But before we go, I've got a couple of tidbits to tantalize your earbuds with. We've got lots and lots of interesting upcoming stuff. Gone are the days when we put together Technorama at the last minute. Well, okay, there's a few of those days left, and we look forward to those all the time. But we are starting to do more advanced planning. We've got things planned out, 5 or 6 months now. We've got ideas stretching out there. In May, I will be taking a trip to Fermilab in the Chicagoland area. That's the place where they have the particle accelerators and all that cool science-y stuff. So I look forward to doing that. I've got a trip to an aquarium in June down in the Milwaukee area. If you've been listening for a while and you remember my interview with Tom Dudchick from Immersion
who?
Presents. He's the one who did the
that?
Live dive program.
Yeah.
This is a gentleman who works with him. So we'll be doing that aquarium. That's down in the Milwaukee area. And we've got lots of interviews in the pipeline. So we've got lots of cool stuff. Still talking to more and more cool people. Expect those about every 3 or 4 weeks. We can't do one every week because it's just a lot of work and it's hard to line these people up. And a lot
what?
Of them are saying no.
I talk to a cool person every week.
Who would that be?
Chuck. I was trying to give you some kudos, man.
What are you smoking? Have another Technorama lager.
I was wanting you to feed me a $5 spot off of PayPal.
I talk with one of the cool people, too,
yeah.
Twice a week.
It's not worth it if you have to follow up on that. Anyway.
Loses anyway. All the humor.
That's right. Hey, I did want to mention that apparently I'm going to be making a cameo over there. Not really a cameo, more like a voice over at the Comedy Forecast. At comedy4cast.com. It'll be coming up in the next few days. So that's what he
cool.
So go check that out and go subscribe. He does a 5-minute podcast. This comedy stuff is pretty good.
Where else can we find you, Craig?
in Charlotte.
Pimp the show.
Oh, yeah, here we go. You can find me at listener line.
No, you, stop. What's your other show?
Oh, that's it. Oh, yeah.
Boy, so much for subtlety.
I am sharp tonight. Sharp as a box of tacks. Anyway, you can find me at ValidSyntax.com. I'll be doing another show here in the next day or so. And, yeah, go subscribe.
All right, if you're into open source and that kind of thing, Valid Syntax is the place to go. What's your tagline? Without Valid Syntax?
You can't do anything.
Oh, I love that. She's got a tagline. I think you worked harder on that than anything else. But
that's, yeah,
it's a good show. The production's coming along really nice. I'm very impressed. I'm just growing up to be a big podcaster boy.
So you can call my listener line at 206-338-5734.
All right, and what's the Chuck Chat listener line in case
the Chuck Chat one
3 days ago?
Yeah, the Chuck Chat. The Chuck Chat listener line at 206-222-CHAT. That's 2428. You can email Chuck at chuck@chuckchat.com. Send all your comments to chuckchat@gmail.com. You can email me, kreg@chuckchat.com, and visit our website, The Other Constant in the Universe, at chuckchat.com. For forums, our swag, webcam, mailing list, show notes, and more.
This show is also a proud member of Friends in Tech. Find out more about this and many other good tech shows with lots of good tech programming at friendsintech.com. Too numerous to list here.
I like how you said, in friendsintech.com. Oh, wait, stop the music. Stop the music.
Stop the music!
Stop the music.
Thanks.
Yes. You forgot to play something, and I'm going to make you play it.
What did I forget?
Dr. Seuss.
Oh, how did I miss that?
Yeah, so play it.
All right. Thank you. Wow. I worked real hard on this.
Bits, bytes, chips, clocks. Bits and bytes on chips in box. Bytes with bits and chips with clocks. Chips in box on Ether docks. Chips with bits come, chips with bytes come. Chips with bits and bytes and clocks come. Look, sir, read the book, sir. Let's do tricks with bits and bytes, sir. Let's do tricks with chips and clocks, sir. First I'll make a quick trick bit stack, then I'll make a quick trick byte stack. You can make a quick trick chip stack. You can make a quick trick clock stack. And here's a new trick on the scene. Bits in bytes for your machine. Bytes in words to fill your screen. Now we come to ticks and talks, sir. Try to say this by the clock, sir. Clocks on chips tick, clocks on chips talk. 8-byte bits tick, 8-bit bytes talk. Clocks on chips with 8-bit bytes tick. Chips with clocks and 8-byte bits talk. Here's an easy game to play. Here's an easy thing to say. If a packet hits a pocket on the socket on a port, and the bus is interrupted as a very last resort, and the address of the memory makes your floppy disk abort, then the socket packet pocket has an error to report. If your cursor finds a menu item followed by a dash, and the double-clicking icon puts your window in the trash, and your data is corrupted because the index doesn't hash, then your situation's hopeless and your system's gonna crash. You can't say this? What a shame, sir. We'll find you another game, sir. If the label on the cable on the table at your house says the network is connected to the button on your mouse and the packets want to tunnel on another protocol, that's repeatedly rejected by the printer down the hall and your screen is all distorted by the side effects of Gauss, so your icons in the window are as wavy as a sauce, then you may as well reboot and go out with a bang, cause as sure as I'm a poet, the sucker's gonna hang. When the copy of your floppy's getting sloppy on the disk and your microcode instructions cause an unnecessary risk, then you have to flash your memory and you'll want to RAM your ROM. Quickly turn off your computer and be sure to tell your mom.
All right, I almost forgot about that.
Man, and
it was a little long, I know, but.
And, you know, hey, this is Dr. Seuss' birthday, so.
That was our Dr. Seuss tribute.
Okay, play the music again.
From where we were? Right about there? Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Thanks, everybody, for listening. Thanks for going through all that with us. I know this one ran a little longer than our typical one. We've been keeping around 30, 35 minutes, and this one went up to 50. So, till next time, binary high five.
101. Hey, can you say 101?
102T.
No, say 101.
101.